Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It is quickly becoming apparent that America and the West are interested in using the conflict in Sudan to plunge not only Sudan, but the entire region into turmoil. Now, I regret that I have not talked much about Africa in the past in the context of the shifting global order, and I had every intention to focus more on Africa in the near future. But it seems that events have gotten ahead of me. So I expect that I will be talking quite a bit more about Africa in the coming days and weeks. Last week, I believe, I made a video talking about leverage and bet hedging in international relations, and I posited that the UAE and Saudi Arabia were making a bid for a hostile takeover of Sudan by backing the RSF in overthrowing the government. Now, in my opinion, the UAE and Saudi Arabia used the leverage that they have with America, with the West, with Russia, and with China to basically get them to co-sign on the coup attempt, but that America hedged their bet and retained the strategic option of escalating the conflict in Sudan if the coup didn't go to plan. Well, the coup has not gone to plan, and America and the West seem to be activating that hedge. Now, the United States wants to secure their interests in Sudan, and chief among their interests in Sudan is to negate China's and Russia's interests in Sudan. And now they are basically threatening to use the conflict in Sudan as a regional contagion that could potentially undermine Russian and Chinese interests across the continent. Now, this was always a risk for the UAE and Saudi Arabia if the coup didn't go to plan, and it appears that the worst has come to pass. Let's be frank, the future of the global economy turns on Africa. There are 17 minerals that are indispensable to the manufacturing of smartphones, electric vehicles, military weapon systems, and on, all forms of technology. These are what are referred to as rare earths elements, and they are essentially the vital nutrients of global industry. Now, China has monopolized production and extraction and refinement of these minerals, and they dominate the global supply chain that feeds these nutrients to the global economy. But Africa possesses large, high-grade deposits of these minerals, and that makes the African continent ground zero for America's economic existential battle with China. Now, since past behavior is the most reliable predictor of future behavior, we have every reason to believe that the United States will resort to subversion and violence in order to secure control of these resources without hesitation. Now, China has been building relationships, forming connections, securing mining contracts, and gaining access to African resources since the 1980s. But economic planning in the United States is largely driven by corporate decision-making, which literally doesn't look beyond the next fiscal quarter. So America is playing catch-up. And whenever that's the case, they cheat. Having guns means that you can afford to not really plan ahead that much. Or anyway, that has typically been the U.S. philosophy on international relations. When they find themselves very far behind, they'll just shoot the front runner and win the race. So I have been expecting that the West would pursue violent destabilization in Africa, which is anyway not a particularly bold prediction. And this is why I have advocated in the past for greater Global South partnerships with Africa, particularly between African countries and countries in Southeast Asia, like Malaysia and Indonesia, and between African countries and the Gulf states. Not just partnerships between Africa and China and Africa and Russia. Because if you're going to protect yourself from America, then you need to have some friends with you whom the Americans do not regard as enemies. You need to have some friends standing between you and the Americans whom the Americans care about not destroying. Now, if you follow my channel, you'll know that whenever I talk about America, what I am actually talking about is the owners and controllers of global financialized capital using the state power of America to pursue and secure and consolidate their interests. They are the owners and controllers of global financialized capital, the OCGFC, are anational, and they don't care about what's in America's vital interests. So no, this isn't really about American control of African resources. It's about OCGFC control of African resources, which can be secured by the use of American power. Now, technically, the OCGFC wouldn't care who controls the resources because they have the ability to dominate most governments. But when it comes to Russia and China, the state has too much control over business, so the OCGFC prefer American dominance. The only potential spoiler that I can see that could benefit Africa is for a multiplicity of countries to enter the dynamic. Smaller countries, yes, but countries which the owners and controllers of global financialized capital want to remain intact. Countries which are business-friendly, investment-friendly, but which do retain some degree of economic and political sovereignty. The UAE, Saudi Arabia, and Qatar, despite the debacle that the Emirates has apparently caused in Sudan, these countries will continue to be absolutely crucial players to help Africa stave off violent Western domination. But of course, other African countries, like South Africa, Tanzania, Kenya, and the DRC, which are all mineral-rich countries, have the potential of helping to resolve conflicts in Africa, including in Sudan, through economic diplomacy. But even still, they will need the support and solidarity of other nations across the Global South and the Gulf states, in my opinion, in order to increase their leverage. The continent of Africa is entering what could possibly be one of the most dangerous periods in recent memory, but which could also be potentially the most liberatory moment that Africa has ever seen. Everyone in the Global South right now needs each other. From Latin America to Africa to Asia, no one can afford to stand alone. And no one can afford to think that conflicts in Latin America, conflicts in Africa, or conflicts in Asia will not have consequences for their own countries. Jazakumullahu khairan wa assalamu alaikum.